Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We spoke last time about the raising of a woman, of a young lady, the chinuch of a girl is different than the chinuch of a young man. We said that young men, men in general, they learn Torah, they have to study, they have to hear, they have to bring the values inside of them. It's a life mission for a man to continue studying. The studying of Torah for a man is his oxygen in order to continue growing in life in a healthy manner. He has a yetzer hara that is constantly coming at him from different angles, different ages, with different issues. And this young man who grows up to be a mature man needs to constantly be chewing on Torah in order to find success. A young lady is a whole different breed. We said that she's the Bet Yaakov. Young women grow from the atmosphere more than they grow from the learning. That's why the Torah refers to them as the house of Yaakov. That is their essence. Raising a young lady has different instructions than raising a young man. Just like they grow up differently, also their ability to give over, to be giving chinuch to their children, is also different. There is the man who gives his direction in his way, and then there is the wife who needs to know her role that she could do in her way. The pasuk says, Shema beni musar avicha. Listen, my son, to the instructions of your father. Your father's teaching you. Listen to him. Ve'al titosh torat imecha. And never forsake the Torah of your mother, the teachings of your mother. Never forget about that. So clearly, you notice in the pasuk that when it comes to a father, the father's job is to direct, to give instructions, to put clarity in the home of where it needs to go. He's the one that gets up and says Divrei Torah. He's the one that gives over rules. No, we don't do that. That's his primary job, to be the one that's speaking. Like when you have a leader of a country, he's always talking. He's reporting. We're doing this. We're not going to do that. We're going forward. We're going backwards. That's his job. But the woman, notice, it doesn't say, listen to your mother's Torah. It says, Al Titosh. Don't forget about it. Don't forsake it. What about telling me to listen to it? So the answer is obvious based on what we're learning. That a woman's Torah is not taught with her mouth. The strength of a woman is not teaching with her mouth. It's creating an atmosphere in the home where her children are going to grow in the atmosphere. While she does have to talk sometimes, but that's not her primary focus. A woman needs to know that her biggest asset, what she could bring into her home and into the future of her children, is the atmosphere that she creates in the home. So the same way women grow from an atmosphere, it's also their ability to create the atmosphere for others to grow. There is a Gemara in Masechet Hulin. Amru alav al Rabbi Hanina. They said about this great man, Rabbi Hanina, Shehaya ben Shemonim Shana. He was 80 years old. Vehaya omed al raglo ahat. At the age of 80, he would be able to stand on one foot, v'holetz min alo, and take off his shoe, v'no'el min alo, or he could put on his shoe. A young man is able to do that. As you get older, standing on one foot is not so easy. But they would say about Rabbi Hanina that at the age of 80, he could stand on one foot and put on and take off his shoes. Amar Rabbi Hanina, when they interviewed him about this tremendous accomplishment, that at the age of 80, he still has the strength and the balance. He says, Hamin v'shemen. It was the hot water, the hot food, v'shemen, and the oil. Shesachtani imi beyalduti, that my mother anointed me, took care of me, served me, pampered me. When I was a child, hen amduli be'et ziknoti. The hot soup and the smooth oil that I got when I was little is my strength when I'm 80. Very interesting Gemara. Who at the age of 80 is connecting his abilities to stand on one foot to his days when he was 4 and 5 years old? But that's what the Gemara is coming to teach you. Me and you would have said, you know why? I stand on one foot. I exercise every day. I eat right. I go to the gym. Ask any guy 80 years old who's doing something that is noteworthy, He'll tell you what he did in the last 15, 20 years of his life. Comes Rabbi Hanina with a chidush. He says that the accomplishments of an 80-year-old could be traced to his mother when he was 4 years old. We would never make the connection. His mother wasn't a trainer to bring muscles to his legs. She gave him hamin. What does hamin, what does hot water or hot milk or oil have to do with standing on one leg at the age of 80? Nothing. You read this Gemara, you say, what's the connection? But you see from Rabbi Hanina, the Gemara is telling you that the accomplishments of an 80-year-old man, even physically, can be very much the result of the mother who took care of him, who created an atmosphere of joy. What does the hamin do? Boy comes home from school, he's 4 years old, and his mother has been something hot, so proud of you that you went to school today, you learned the olive bed. Here's some honey. Here's some sweetness. Whatever the hamin and the shemen are of the times. Hamin is something that you ingest, that you eat. Shemen is something that you soothe your skin. It's something inside and outside. The mother's warmth and the care and the love and the involvement in the happiness of the child is what produces a great 80-year-old. He goes through school. He had many rabbis. He had many teachers. He had many friends. He had many experiences. He had trainers. But the Gemara says the single greatest effect on his life is the hamin and the shemen of his mother when he was a child, yalduti. Not even I was a young man, but I was a child. It's an astounding Gemara. Of course, they explain that not only was it the actual food, the hamin and the oil, but it was the excitement in the home. It was the happiness of the home. It was the excitement for the right values in the home. That's what puts people strong on their legs, both physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally. When you see a strong, older person, you have to assume that there was a great woman that put him on his feet in ways you would never connect. You see a big Talmid Chacham, he knows all of Shas, he's, oh, the Hamin of my mother. Most of us, we would never know how to connect. You know, that's one of the great things about the Torah. One of the beautiful things about the Torah is that it's able to tell you what caused what. What connected to what. For example, today, you want to write a biography on a person's life, a successful person. So, how do you know how he became successful? So the answer is you really don't know. Which point about him, which decision that he made, made him successful? You really don't know. We don't have that ability to know how to connect. Oh, it was this that he had, or this that he did, that made that and he became this. We don't really know how to make those connections. So we just take a bunch of stories about his life that seem important, and we put them together in a book, and we hope that somewhere in there you'll find some inspiration. But the Torah is capable of looking at a man who lived 120 years and in one word or one sentence could tell you what was the reason for his entire success in life. That only Hashem could do that. To know that it was this point that made this greatness. We would write thousands of pages and we still don't know if we even got it in the thousands of pages. Comes the Torah, oh, it was this. That's it, Atkan. For example, give me an example. When we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't really know much about Moshe Rabbeinu's childhood. We just know he grew up in the house of Paro, and then he ran away. And then we find him at the age of 80, and God's talking to him. I want you to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, why? Why him? There are a lot of good people out there. His brother was Aaron. A lot of good Jews out there. What? Why did he go to Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, Torah doesn't really say, but it really does, because if you look in the Torah, what do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? What did the Torah tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu? In the most subtle way, Torah gives us a few stories about Moshe Rabbeinu leaving the palace, comfort, the luxury, the safety of his palace. He went out and he saved a Jew from an Egyptian. Then he went out another day and he saw two Jews fighting and he gets involved. And then he goes to Midian. He's running away from Pharaoh and he sees shepherds bullying young ladies. They don't let them fill up from the well. He goes in, he steps in, helps them. Those are the three stories we know about Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah's telling you something. Torah's telling you, you see this man, Moshe Rabbeinu? You know how he became Moshe Rabbeinu? It was this midah right here. The fact that he was able to step out of his life and help people in need, even if nobody asked him. That genuine care for others, when he could have sat in the palace, in the lap of luxury, enjoying everything he had, he was willing to leave his comfort zone to help those in need. That's why he became, Moshe Rabbeinu. But what about all the other things he did? I mean, he learned, he did a lot of great things in his life. Imagine writing 80 years about Moshe Rabbeinu. How many things could you write about his life? But the Torah writes it in a couple of stories. A few pesukim, now you know. That's the greatness of the Torah. It's able to make the dots connected. So now you know. Oh, you do this, that's what happens. That's what this Gemara is telling you. That an 80-year-old man standing on his feet, strong, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, social, whatever it is, the strength and success of an 80-year-old has to do with his childhood and the warmth and the atmosphere that his mother created. Could you imagine that a young woman who just had a child learns this information. Think about how many women don't know this. Good women that want the best for their children, that would do anything to make them successful now and in the future, but don't even know what power they have and in which area they're able to invest. This Gemara needs to be engraved in the hearts of every woman, that your biggest influence for your children's future happens when they're little. And it's not what you say to them. It's your hamin and your shemen. It's not even the food that you give them, but the way you give it to them. It's not the nutrition. It wasn't the milk that you gave him. It was the warm milk that you gave him. It was the shemen. It was the making him feel comfortable. It's bringing excitement to the real values of life. So many great rabbis write how their growth was because when their mother would see them coming back from yeshiva, from Talmud Torah, she would bake them something special in honor of their day or of their week. One rabbi says that every Friday, his mother would make him this huge, tasty cake that he loved. And she would write, in honor of another beautiful week of learning the alphabet. Who could have imagined you have a teacher teaching this kid alphabet for an entire year? But the cake that she makes him in honor of the alphabet is what's going to put him on his feet, not the one who taught him the alphabet. That's a very big hidush. What a piece of cake could do with the right hamin, with the right warmth. It's not just the cake. So, oh, well, I have to cook. Every woman cooks. Everyone bakes. It's not only about that. It's the way it's given. The great Rav Huttner, Alav HaShalom, was the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivat Chaim Berlin here in Brooklyn. He writes that when he was growing up, there was a spirit of secularism. People were going secular. Maskilim. And they were leaving the yeshivas. And there was not only people leaving yeshivas, there were people recruiting. They would go to the yeshivot. Wow. And they would find usually the top boys to get them to change their lifestyle. And Rav Huttner writes that there was a very heavy recruitment from young men to come grab him. And he says he ignored them for a long time. He says, but after a while, you know, you don't imagine what it was like then. Today we don't have such a thing. It wasn't like people looking to live a life of relaxation. They just wanted that the effort should be in different kinds of studies, in art, in whatever that world was offering. So an intelligent person is attracted to that. Philosophy and all the different areas of education. He said at some point it got to him. He said it came one day. The guy told him, this is your last chance. Whatever it is, you either get on now or the opportunity is going to be gone. The doors are closing. he writes that that night he couldn't sleep, thinking what to do. He says till 4 a.m. he made a decision. He's at 4 a.m. he decided he's staying put. He writes, and what was in my mind that gave me that clarity, that strength to stand up in the midst of a tornado? He says, I can't get out of my head. It's all I keep thinking about. I don't know how old he was. It must have been 18, 20. He says, when I came home in fourth grade, and I told my mother that today we finished Masechet Baba Kama. We finished our Masechet. Says my mother, when she heard that, she says the smile on her face, the excitement on everything around her. So she went. And you have to imagine, this is Europe 100 years ago. Today we have so much luxury, you don't even know what's important. She went, she took out the special Nerot of Shabbat. She put it on the table. She lit them. She put the covers of Shabbat on the table. She took out the nicest plates, forks and knives. And she says, he said, I'll never forget. She went and put on the new dress that my father bought her for Yom Tov. In those days, if you're lucky, you get one dress for the holiday. Not like today, you're shopping whenever you have a minute. You get one dress for the holiday. She came down with a new dress that my father bought her for Yom Tov. And I told my mother, but mom, it's not Yom Tov yet. That's your holiday dress. And she told her son, my dear son, there's no greater holiday than right now that you come home with such an amazing accomplishment. Who could imagine that some nerot and some and a dress and a cake and food, that's what saved. You see, Rav Hudner with all his sfarim, all his talmidim, all of his accomplishments, from his mother's dress. The value, the hamin v'shemen. This is an endless study. So many little things that are so big in what a woman is able to accomplish in her way. It's not the direction of the woman that makes her children great. It's the Torat Imecha. It's the atmosphere of Torah that she plants in the home. Amazing. Doesn't mention his father. I'm sure his father stayed up with him days and nights, studying with him, teaching him. But that's not what made him. Hamin v'shemen of his mother made the difference. You know, the Mabit in his Sefer Bet Elohim, he says that Am Yisrael received the man in the Zechut of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Hazal tell us. That in the Zechut of Moshe, they got the man every day. Says the Mabit, why? Why Moshe Rabbeinu? What does Moshe have to do with the man? So he says, since Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah to Am Yisrael, and he taught them the Torah, and the Torah is compared to bread, spiritual bread, just like you need to eat bread to sustain yourself physically, the Torah is your spiritual bread to sustain you spiritually. It says in the Pasuk in Mishle, Lechu lachmu belachmi, go eat from my bread, says the Torah. So since Moshe Rabbeinu provided spiritual bread for the Jewish people, in his merit, they got the physical bread. Im en Torah, en kemah. Without Torah, there's no bread. So the zechut of the bread came from the one who gave them the real bread. That's what the Mabit says, which helps us tremendously in our study today, because we also know that we got the water in the desert in the merit of Miriam. Why is the water in the merit of Miriam? Moshe, we understand. What about Miriam? So the answer is, just like when a person eats bread, the bread itself goes down and goes into his body. But what makes it go round and round? It's the water. Drink water washes us down. The water is what moves things around. Things don't move without water. That is the relationship of Moshe and Miriam to Am Yisrael. Moshe is the one who gave them the Torah. He gave them the bread. But who's moving that bread around to all the proper limbs and putting it in the right place and making sure it's going to be surrounding the person in the proper way? The mind, Miriam, that's the woman. The woman is the one that's taking the bread of the father and making sure it's hitting all the right notes. Just to finish off for today, there are three circles in a child's life where he receives or looks for ahava, for life, for love. These circles have to be very clear to every single father and mother. There are three circles where a child will be able to find love and needs love from. And the way this is going to work out is going to determine success and failure in many ways. Where are the three circles? So the first circle, the most inner circle, is the love he gets from his parents, from his home. The second is the love that he gets from his family, his grandparents, his cousins, his uncles. And the third is the ahava he gets from his friends. Three circles, three spheres of love. If a person has the feeling of ahava, now it's not enough to love a child, because every parent, as normal, loves their children. That in itself doesn't really do the job. We're talking about the child receiving the love and receiving the love for all the important things that he's accomplished, that he's accomplishing, he's going to accomplish. The love of himself. when he sees that the people here are so respectful of him. Very often respect and love come together. It's very hard that a person should feel love if they don't feel respected. If a three-year-old goes on the chair to go get a piece of candy and his mother grabs him and throws him down with a comment, that's called disrespect. You just disrespected him. Well, he has to have the candy. He doesn't have to have the candy. But you have to know, before he got on that chair, he thought about what he wants. He worked hard to go get the chair. He climbed on the chair. And finally, he got the item he's been planning for the last 5 minutes to get it. And you come and you grab him from his shirt and throw him down, that's called disrespectful. If an older person would want something, would work hard to get something, is involved and finally got it, and you take him and you throw him down, that would be called not kavod. He doesn't have to have the candy, but be kavod, gotta be respect.
You could grab him with two hands, tell how much you love him.
Tell him that you understand that he wants something and you appreciate that he worked hard to get it. But right now, it's not the right time. Maybe a different time. However it is, but it's got to be done with respect. It's very hard for a person to feel love when they're being put down. That doesn't work. Yeah, you love them, but they're feeling disrespected. When they feel that way, they're not feeling love. So love isn't about what you have for them. It's about what they feel. You have to know, am I giving over such a message? Is that the atmosphere here? Where the people here are so appreciated, they're so respected, they're so loved. It doesn't mean they could run and trample over you. No, no. You can be very strong. But it's got to be done in the most respectful way for that love to resonate within the child. The number one place that a child needs love is from his parents, from his home. If he gets it from his home in the healthy way that it should come, if the mother realizes her job in this area, it's also the father, but this is the mother's area. When we speak about the mother and father differently, it doesn't mean they don't sometimes do each other's job. The father also has to wear an atmosphere, and the mother also has to teach sometimes, but that's not her main job. The main job is that she creates this atmosphere of ahava. That's why it says, Vayikra el Moshe. Every time Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasuk says, Vayikra, he called him, Moshe, Moshe. Hazal tells us why he had to call him every time, Moshe, Moshe, Derech Hiba. He wanted to show him how much he loved him. Vayikra el Moshe. Before God would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, he first sent him a message of ahava by calling him Moshe, Moshe. You can't teach someone if you don't build an atmosphere of ahava. Hashem had to build ahava with Moshe Rabbeinu before he could teach him. That's why the Baal HaTurim says, Vayikra Vav, El Aleph, Moshe Mem, says the Baal HaTurim, the first three letters, if you put them together, Imo, his mother. Hashem was being a mother to Moshe Rabbeinu before he could be his father. Before he could teach him about what he needs to do, he needed to first build the motherly act of ahava. Because if not for the imo, if not for the shemen, if not for the hamin, so there's nobody to teach. You need to have someone home to teach. If you're enrolled in school and you don't show up, there's no one home, you can't teach him. A person, a young man, a young lady who doesn't feel the ahaba isn't ready for the lessons of life. Vayikra el Moshe. Children crave the love from their home, from their parents. When they get it, then they are powerful. And they don't need to look for it in the other circles. You see, most damage that has happened to people in life is because they needed to find love outside of their home. And when you look for love outside, you never know where you end up getting it from, where you end up getting appreciated, where you end up feeling wanted. Think about that. Most people that have gotten in trouble in life and have failed, it's because they needed to find ahava outside of their inner circle. Doesn't mean they didn't have parents who loved them, but for sure it means they didn't feel the ahava. And this becomes the priority of the mother in the home. The priority of a mother in the home is the atmosphere that she creates in the home. And as Rabbi Hanina taught us, that atmosphere is an atmosphere of warmth and ahava. It's an atmosphere of excitement and appreciation for the child and his accomplishments. It's taking all the beautiful things that he's involved in and raising them. It is there where you have the ima. That's called the Torat Imecha. That's in the atmosphere. At that point, he's ready. He's ready to walk and talk and teach and learn and accomplish. That's the Bet Yaakov. Not only does the woman grow up through the atmosphere, but she raises others through the atmosphere. That's her energy. That's what she's able to do best. She needs to be aware of that koach, and she will find success when she knows that mission. That's the Eshet Chayil. Rabot banot asu chayil. Kamu baneha v'asherua. Her children will stand up and say, what a mother we had. The hamin, oh, the love that food came with, the special attention that my mother gave me by putting on that dress just for me, not for her. Sometimes you could put on a nice dress for your son's bar mitzvah, but it's more about you than about him. Not always do we get dressed up for something in our home. Is it for them? It's a very subtle message. Are you dressing up for me? Dressing up for you. How a woman accomplishes that is something only a woman knows how to do. But the feeling has to be, I'm dressing up for you. I'm doing this for you. It's not an excuse for me to do something that I like. It's about you. The excitement is all about you. That's called building. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh. ברוך הבא לעולם אמן ואמן.